I'm not wholly comfortable singling out one person, but you know, Megan Portfolio's piece in Yankee Institute does when it comes to educator absenteeism, and she makes a great point in the sense that we hold students to certain standards in terms of how many days they can miss before they're in trouble. But with the staff, it's different. And a lot of it's because of union contracts. And again, I'm not anti-union, but it's true. And she basically uses some of the data points through a Freedom of Information Act request to display just how many days this particular person, and I think you can extrapolate even if she's the worst, that a lot of staff in education or public education miss way more than they probably need to, and there's not necessarily any recourse. And the statistics are stunning. And so we thought we'd bring Megan in to talk about it a little bit. Good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Brian. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, I mean, this is, and again, I'm not one to like call individuals out. I can let you do that. But I think the numbers are the numbers are unbelievable. So just give us a bit of the data.
Yeah, I normally don't pick on certain people, but I had gotten a tip that a Hartford public school paraeducator, Shelley Davis, who also moonlights as the president of the Hartford Federation of Paraeducators Union, and she's the secretary treasurer of the Connecticut AFL-CIO. So I had done a FOIA between 2021 through March of 2024 because of a tip I had received. And what I found was she had missed 152 days of school in that almost 3 years of time. So essentially, she almost missed a year's worth of work and got paid for it in those 3 years. And how it broke down was 55 days were sick days. And I don't want to judge anyone for sick days because you never know what's going on in their life. Yeah. But this is where it raises eyebrows. 38 of those days were professional development days. And I looked at their union contract, and professional development days are supposed to be used for things to, you know, go to school to get more skills for your job so that you can move up the ladder, move up the pay scale, which I totally agree with that. But 38 of those days, I kind of drilled into that, and I found that she was spending a lot of these professional development days up at the LOB lobbying for her unions for bills that actually don't even have anything to do with being a paraeducator or education. One of them was to tax the rich. Another one was to eliminate the sub-minimum wage for waiters and bartenders. But it doesn't stop there. The contract also allows the superintendent of the Hartford Public School System to allow union members to take time off for union activities. They call it either union leave or official business. And again, she took how many days? 33 days doing things like going to the LOB to do a 49-minute press conference. And if you go to yankeeinstitute.org, I have my article on there with the pictures on it. I mean, I went through CTN, grabbed, you know, screenshots. So she's literally taking union leave to go do press conferences for 49 minutes and not returning back to work. And the union leave also lets her and other union members take time off to go to their conventions up at Foxwoods. Like, there's one coming up in November. So the unions are literally pulling our teachers and our paraeducators out of school during the work week to get paid to go to, you know, go to conferences at Foxwoods. And, you know, and they're also getting paid through her union. She's getting stipends for travel and stipends for her lobbying activities that she does. So essentially she's double dipping, and this is all on the taxpayer dime.
So,
Go ahead.
I was just going to say first of all, we'll get through the contract in a second, but ultimately it's kids who suffer. You know,
think about it. I mean, you're being held to this standard as a student. You can only miss 10% of the time of your school year. Otherwise, you're considered chronically absent. And then there's all these interventions that have to take place. But now you have the staff not only exceeding the 10%, but by like three times that amount. How disruptive is that to the classroom? Now you have teachers who, it just came out in a survey this week from CEA, teachers are experiencing incredible burnout. Now their support staff is able to, you know, go and do these lobbying activities while they're supposed to be working. So now teachers are scrambling, other educators are scrambling, and the students, there's no structure. I mean, when you have, you know, everyone scrambling around, how are you supposed to be a student and learn when everyone's scrambling around trying to, you know, plug up the hole?
What I'd like to know, and we're talking with Megan Portfolio from the Yankee Institute. You can go to yankeeinstitute.org to find the piece. I want to know if this is pervasive. There's a couple of questions here. I want to know if this is pervasive because this might be an issue with full-time teachers too. I don't know, and I'd be interested in that answer.
This is actually an issue that from top to bottom in government, from federal, state, and local. Yankee Institute put out a study a few years ago, Union Time on the Taxpayer Dime, and state employees are costing the taxpayers millions of dollars a year for this union leave to go and do lobbying efforts, to go do political events, to go to conferences. And I'm at the LOB all the time myself when session's in. I see all these union teachers and officials and all these union bosses there lobbying. And I see them in the cafeteria while they're supposed to be working.
No, I'm so sorry to interrupt. I'm always tight on time and I want to make sure I get this stuff in. Megan Portfolio from Yankee Institute. Are all of the things that were done here, according to whether it's union contracts or employment agreements, allowed?
Yes. So I'm not trying to imply that there's any laws being broken. All her time was approved by management. So there is an issue right now. The first issue is they need to tighten up these union contracts. This is ridiculous. For the union time, it's the superintendent can just give reasonable amount of time. That could be 100 days. That could be 180 days. And management needs to pay a little more attention, and HR needs to pay a little more attention. Yeah. What are the employees doing? So I'm not implying that she's breaking any laws, but there is clearly an issue going on in the Hartford school system.
Well, you make the point, like, listen, I know people who basically use personal days and even sick days as quasi-vacation days, and that stuff really bothers me because I never would do that unless it was like an absolute need or what have you, and I've taken like 2 sick days in my entire adult life. So, but those things are, you can't, like you said early on, like you don't know what's going on for sure, so you can't question them. But to be able to take, you know, 10 days every school year for union issues, I feel like that was collectively bargained, but that sounds unfair. And then to have 38 professional development days, I have enough trouble when my kids were in school, they had like 5 or 6 in a year, but to have 10 to 15 is insane. And so, like, I do think that if you can even be pro-union and acknowledge that maybe this has gone too far the other way.
Correct. I agree.
Yeah, it's and I encourage people to look at it. And again, like, I hate when people on the show like make it a conservative liberal thing or like you're anti-union. It's not that. It's like, think about the standards you set. There's 2 things I say. Think about the standards you set for yourself in your own work. OK, and then think of children who are trying to get an education in a city like Hartford where they struggle enough as a public school.
Yeah, these are their role. I mean, these are your role models. I mean, my teachers were my role models when I was a young kid. I mean, who else? My parents and my teachers. And I see my teachers, you know, blowing off work. I mean, what kind of an example is that? And what does that tell me?
Yeah.
I can blow off school.
Listen, Megan, I appreciate the article and the conversation. And I did want to ask you about some of the other stuff you've been writing about, but we ran out of time. So we'll talk to you again soon, I'm sure.
Thanks, Brian.
All right, Megan, thank you. Appreciate it. Megan Portfolio from Yankee Institute. And again, she's got the numbers there through a Freedom of Information. And so you can see them for yourself and then you can judge how you feel about it.